You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
We are ready to go. Thanks for being a part of the show and us during the next 4 hours. It's the middle of the week as we head for week 4 of the college football season. A lot of really good guests today. Don't forget, Friday we'll be on the road again. But right now we're talking about A&M and the Razorbacks. They meet this weekend in Arlington, of course. And the A&M football team about to enter an unexpected gauntlet. A&M leads all time. They've won the last 9. 5 of 7 have been decided by one possession. This game is Saturday, and the Razorbacks are pinning a lot of optimism on this game. And we cannot wait to talk more about it later on with one of our favorite guests. Meanwhile, urgency ramps up as Orgeron looks to Mississippi State. Coach O, help me out, brother.
No, we have a plan. We've been looking at Mississippi State ever since we couldn't stop them last year, and it was embarrassing. I was embarrassed as a coach, and I take full responsibility. So, yes, we have some plans to do some different things, but obviously I can't tell you. You know, I don't know about a revenge game, but we have our antennas up. We know how good they are. And we know we got in the game, but we weren't expecting to get we got burnt. I mean, we just couldn't cover, and we just didn't have the answers. So hopefully this year we do have the answers. I don't think it was our players' fault at all. They just weren't in good position. They were confused. Hopefully we fix that. And I think Jay Ward's going to play.
We got a game in Gainesville. Remember when this was the number one game of the year in college football and in the SEC? Tennessee and Florida. Did Alabama soften up Florida for the Vols? Will it be easier for Tennessee? Maybe not. Only 8 straight road losses to Florida. Can anyone remember the last time Tennessee won in the swamp? 2003. Casey Clawson was the quarterback. Yeah. Meanwhile, Sportico talking about the SEC as the SEC coffers close in on the NCAA thanks to TV. We'll talk to the author of that article, Daniel Libet, a little bit later on. Heather starts it off for us. There's a big college football playoff meeting today. Will anything get done? Billy Lucci and Josh Berticini. One covers A&M, one covers Arkansas. Libet at 5 o'clock. Alyssa, Andrea Carter joining us out of pocket tonight, as you well know. And John Adams, the second president of the United States, will join us in the final hour. John Adams actually covers the Tennessee Volunteers, and he remembers when Tennessee was good. Been a long time ago. We welcome you to another day. We're going to try to be good for the next 4 hours, and then you never know. 855-242-7285. That is our phone number. Why wait? Why sit around and listen to me pontificate when we have brilliant, learned callers with such great voices like Hugh from Deep Gap, North Carolina?
Oh, Paul, you're too kind. How are you doing this afternoon? I'll be the first to ask you, and you'll be asked that 20 more times.
Well, but I won't be asked it by a voice like yours. Thank you, Hugh. I'm doing great.
Paul, you're a sweetheart. I have a request. I think a public service announcement that will identify which end of Legend's body his vitriolic blowout is going to be coming from would be highly advisable for your listening audience. My problem with his diatribe Monday is that I find it hard to believe that people are really so incapable of understanding the difficult chore every coach in the Southeastern Conference is experiencing this year, plugging in new people and different people at different positions, and all of the startup problems you have in that regard. We're so dad-blame spoiled from team like LSU 2 years ago or Alabama's team last year that hit the field with all eight cylinders purring. That's not the case this year. We have tremendous talent on every team, but also problems with every team. And please, let's give all of these coaches and assistant coaches and kids at least 6 games to figure out what the hell they're doing on the field before we throw them under the bus. It's crazy. And I have one other request. There's an outstanding, smart young man that was picked last year by knowledgeable people, to be the best offensive lineman in the Southeastern Conference. He chose not to go to the NFL and come back to Kentucky. His name is Darian Kennard. You always have quarterbacks and receivers and running backs. Paul, could you possibly do an interview with an outstanding student, a well-spoken young man that happens to be an offensive tackle?
I would love to. We'll put that on our to-do list. Well, thank you, Hugh. Thanks for the suggestion.
Sure thing, Paul. Good day, buddy.
You bet it. Hugh, joining us at the beginning of the program. We're one for one on great calls. How about John in Louisville? Can we make it 2 for 2? I bet we can.
Don't put pressure on me. Hey, I was listening to your show coming back from Chicago for 4 hours, and I thought what made it so great was, obviously, I love your opening monologue, and your production team puts together great guests and analysts, but it was the callers yesterday. It started with Jimmy, the cop. He's so polite, love his accent. And when he brought up Urban Meyer, there was a pause by you, like you were being grilled. And then, like Jack Nicholson on A Few Good Men, you bellowed out, "You want an answer? I'll give you an answer. He's a fraud." And then there was a pause again. And I'm going, what's Jimmy going to do? Throw the phone book at him or yell at him? And quietly says, "I agree."
And as you know, I had no earthly idea where he was going. I wasn't trying to suit my answer to him. But that was funny. When I started, hitting on him as a cop, he loved that, and he didn't deny what I was suggesting.
By the way, you gave him a pass because he kept saying Lou Saban, the old Buffalo coach, instead of
that is a people of a certain age fall into that. That's not the first time I've heard that.
And I learned squirrel recipes. I know you followed it closely, asking whether you kill it first or fry it first. That was good. There's a squirrel hunting season. There's a limit of 8. I guess that would make an appetizer. And then what blew me away, without using a pun, is you kill with a shotgun. I mean, what's left of the squirrel?
Yeah, no, I really think there should be a fair way to go after squirrels. I think you should be. I think you should do what my dog does. You should have to chase the squirrel.
Yep. And I got to pay some homage to Legends Epic Grant. I don't like folks that disparage others, but that was classic. As I was listening to him, he sounded a little bit like Huey Long, a little bit like Stephen A. Smith, and he's beginning to sound more like Iman and vice versa as I listen to both of them, kind of compete against each other.
I got news for Stephen A. Smith. He could not handle Legend.
Yeah, and by the way, I don't want to get on Legend's list, so I do think they should run both coordinators out of town. I think Pat Forte is full of baloney, and when Legend predicted a blowout last week, it was just miswording. He meant they would get by with a win.
Well done, John.
So,
thank you.
So Notre Dame, Wisconsin, I think we finally find out if Notre Dame's can win a game against a ranked opponent. They've skated by on three sub-competitors. And then Texas A&M and Arkansas, are they for real? But I think you brought up a good game, and that is the coach's hot seat bowl down there at LSU and Mississippi State. Are you looking for any other games of interest this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I'm intrigued by Tennessee and Florida just to see, to try to learn a little bit more about Tennessee. But no, it is, to be charitable, it's not a great weekend.
Yeah, it does seem, other than those three games, it does seem kind of slow.
Yeah. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it, John. We are heading to a break. A lot of guests coming by, and we will continue with more of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We welcome you back. Remember about 3 months ago when the college football playoff announced they were planning on expanding the playoff? They said they had a couple of more hoops to go through. All the commissioners met in Chicago. So they kicked the can down to today, where it was supposed to be a pro forma vote where they would go ahead and acknowledge it. And then I think there was one more hoop to go through and we would be on the verge of a 12-team playoff. Well, that was before the Pac-12 got a new commissioner who thinks he knows everything. And most important, Texas and Oklahoma decided to bail. It was just announced that the CFP Management Committee chose not to make a recommendation for playoff expansion. That there was supposed to be another meeting next week where the presidents would rubber stamp it. That is now not going to happen. And we will talk to Heather Dinich in a few minutes about the crash and burn of college football. When we were told initially this was the only way to save the sport, and now it's not going to happen because of pettiness. We'll get into that a little bit more with Heather. Let's continue right now with more phone calls. And Ray is in Pittsburgh. Hello, Ray.
Hi, Mr. Feinbaum. How are you?
We're doing great. Thank you very much.
I think eventually they're going to go to, or they'll first go to four teams and 16 conferences, but how long that stays, I'm not sure. Do you think they will eventually go to the Super League they're talking about? And if that does happen, when do you think it will?
Ray, I don't know. Right now, I think college football is in such disarray that making any predictions beyond today is simply impossible. You've got you truly have a group of people that have disparate views. Everyone's out for themselves. And, you know, I think college football has taken a major step backwards from where we were in June. This was such an exciting moment when it looked like everyone had gotten on the same page, and the same pettiness and the same turf battles that have kept this sport down for many years is apparently going to keep it down for many more. And you know, everyone wants to point toward the SEC, but the SEC has never advocated expansion. The SEC has been the most successful league with the current system. and will continue to be. It's conferences like the Big 12 and like the Pac-12 who are going to suffer, but they're doing it to themselves. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check in next with Joe, who is in Georgia. Hello, Joe. Go right ahead.
Hello, Paul. How are you doing today, sir?
We are doing great.
I was calling about, do you think Georgia has a chance against Florida? Florida looks pretty good.
Yeah, of course I do.
And I was wondering about, you know, we were talking earlier this year when JT Daniels, and you were on a Dog Nation about how he's doing. What do you think? He's going to still progress, or we still got a chance with him?
I haven't changed my view of Georgia at all. We'll talk to Mike Griffith tomorrow, but I think anyone who is worried about Georgia is not watching them very closely. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Mark is in Georgia, and you are on the air. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today?
Mark, we're doing great.
This is about my fourth or fifth time of getting through to you. I just want to make some points about the Alabama-Florida game. I'm a diehard Tide fan. The game with Florida was really a showdown between two giants, I think. I think Florida's defense, I've been arguing with a lot of folks around here in my hometown, I think Florida's defense is probably the best in the SEC. And the victory by the Tide may have been a gift, you know, to shore up the defense. The offense, I think, will be okay. But the defense is going to have to get some practice in, get ready, you know, for the latter part of the season. But I think the game really was really sort of like a present for Alabama to see that somebody can't compete with them in the SEC West.
Mark, thank you very much for the call. I do appreciate it. You be well. Let's talk again soon. Laura is in Virginia. You're on the air. Hello, Laura.
Hi, Mr. Pinebaum. How are you today?
I am well. Thank you.
I'm really confused. I'm a huge Alabama fan, and I just can't understand what the heck is going on these days. I saw the game on Saturday, you know, loved most of the game, but after the second half came down, I'm like, what the heck are we doing? I just don't get what's going on with the team these days. Can you help me to understand that, please, if you don't mind?
Well, Laura, I think it starts with them playing a really good team in a hostile environment, and I think that plays a role as the momentum of the game shifts. And when Alabama fails to make a play, which it desperately needed to make to continue so they could continue leading by a significant amount of points, it started to come apart. They gave up a score near the end of the half. They gave up a 99-yard series early in the third quarter. And then when Alabama had one final chance to put it away, they couldn't do it. They had penalties. They made mistakes. And that's why they got out with their life. But in the end, I don't know why we're treating this as a loss. Alabama won the game. That's what they went down there to do.
Well, I understand that, and I get that, and I'm thankful for the fact that they won the game. But you know what? I think, you know, for all these years that I've known about the Alabama Crimson Tide, and I have been on this for a long time, make no mistake, I just can't believe they only won by 2 points. I'm just like, you know, this is ridiculous to me. I mean, this is a team that has got Nick Saban as a coach. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, come on
well,
now.
But
Let's
Laura,
tell the truth
my,
here.
My argument back there would be that sometimes, you know, being a favorite, you know, carries with it a lot of burden. And I think sometimes it happens. This team is capable.
Well, I think that's what happened. You're right. Exactly.
I think Alabama certainly had a chance to put this game away. But once you don't do that and you're on the road in a very difficult set of circumstances, not only and I bring up the weather, not that these aren't young people. Of course they are. It's not like the two of us are trying to play in 90-degree weather and 100% humidity. But there is a level of attrition. And as you go through a war like this, you do get worn down. And I think we saw a lot of that Saturday. And if Alabama loses one of its next couple of games, then, yeah, I think it's justified. But if they survive the Ole Miss and A&M stretch, then I think we probably overreacted. Appreciate the call. Thank you so much. Gerald is up next in Alabama. Hello, Gerald.
Hey, Paul. How are you, sir?
I'm well. Thank you.
Got a two-part question. First off, I'm an Auburn fan, War Eagle. I know they got some tough games coming up. Which one of those games that you think that they may pull an upset and win? And also, is it my imagination, or does Bo Nix have to screw up like once or twice in all the big games? I mean, like the other night against Penn State, it was fourth down and goal, and he threw the ball so far out of the end zone that no one could touch it. So, like I said, yeah, I know he's a good athlete. I know he's got good smarts.
He looked like a rookie on that play because there's nothing to be – I mean, it doesn't matter. You could just throw the ball in the middle of a crowd and you'll have a better result than throwing it out of bounds.
True.
That was fairly disappointing for somebody of his skill set and experience.
Right. And I'm thinking after, you know, this is his third year there, you would think – that he would make the big plays in big games. But, and like I said, I didn't know what game.
You're just better off throwing it to – just throw it somewhere in the end zone that your guy may be able to catch it. I mean, if you get intercepted, who cares?
That's true.
I didn't understand that play, and I haven't really heard what Bo said. But, we're all human, but you expect more from a three-year starter. We're up against a break. We will try to give you an update on the CFP meetings, which are now over in Dallas. Heather Dennis joining us in about 15 minutes, and more of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
On a Wednesday afternoon, Chris is in South Carolina. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We're well, thank you.
Hey, Paul, I need a favor, something you got expertise in.
I don't have expertise in much, but I'll try.
Well, one category you got in is getting rid of head coaches. I was going to see if you can help us Clemson folk to get rid of our offensive coordinator.
Well, you know what? Have things been the same since the offensive coordinator went down to Florida?
No, it haven't. Jeff Scott, and I watched the Clemson program a lot, but Jeff Scott, he was the risk taker. He was the one that threw the ball down the field at least 4 times a quarter. He caught all the big plays. But the thing that got me is, if you watched the spring game, I'm pretty sure you probably didn't, but Tyson, our backup quarterback, he really scored the only touchdown in the game. DJ didn't score a touchdown in the spring game, so – I mean, they could have seen that in the offseason and got Tyson ready. I know Tyson was hurt, but he's back now. So why not give that boy a chance?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I get through this weekend. This is one of the tougher tests of the year, I think, for Clemson at North Carolina State. So I understand the frustration. Clemson folks are not used to being in this spot, but stay the course. We're only 3 games in.
Man, I wish Tonio could have went up there to Tennessee, man. Because I'm telling you, man, it's as an offensive coordinator at a program like Clemson, you should be able to adjust, and you're not adjusting. You had 2 hours of rain delay to adjust in the Georgia Tech game.
I agree. Listen, I'm not making excuses because I thought that was an atrocious performance, and you know, Dabo's finding out what it's like to live on the other side of the street. Hey, thank you for the call, Chris. Appreciate you asking me for help. I'm really going to have a lot of influence there with Dabo. Larry is in Texas, and you're on the air.
Yes, Paul. Enjoying your show. I just had a couple of comments. I wanted to get your opinion on Bryce Young there at Alabama. I'm an Alabama fan, And I'm a little concerned about his ability on getting the ball downfield. I went back and looked at the first three games, and I noticed that he's only gotten about six or seven passes past the 20-yard line on a completion, and I think really only five of them were even more than 20 yards. And I was wondering, what are you thinking about that? Because I think that's going to really – they're not getting a good advantage out of their receivers if he can't get the ball 30, 40 yards downfield.
No, I agree. I think you got to push the ball down the field to be successful overall. And I don't know whether they're being careful with him or not, but I don't know how you know, at this point in the biggest game of the year, you would worry about stuff like that. That's a great question, by the way.
Well, the other thing, too, and I want to give him credit for this. With his physique, I appreciate the fact that when he goes on his rollouts and he sees that he can't get through, that he throws the ball away and doesn't take
a big
hit.
No, you're right. You do not need to lose Bryce Young right now.
Exactly. I think his physical physique, I just hope he can get through the season with his size, and I appreciate him using his brains and maybe getting rid of the ball when he needs to.
Thank you very much. Pappy in Houston, you're on the air. Hello, Pappy.
Yes, how you doing, Paul? Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I was just wanting the upcoming game this weekend with LSU at Mississippi State. I was wanting to hear your analysis of what you think of how it may go, and then also whether or not your analysis would be any difference if there was more cowbell.
So you always need more cowbells, don't you? I'm still struggling with this game because I think LSU is better than what we've seen so far, but I have very little to offer as solid evidence. I think Mississippi State is about what we thought they would be, somewhat underwhelming.
Okay. Well, thank you so much
I would
taking
probably,
my call.
At this moment, I'd probably favor LSU. I could still change, but you have any words of wisdom to help me make up my mind?
I think it's all going to have to depend on what happens on the line, whether we can protect Max Johnson when he's passing or whether we can get to the Mississippi State quarterback.
I know one thing. If you're an LSU fan, I don't think you want to think about the possibility of losing this game. That would be a really destructive mechanism for the rest of the year. You just can't afford it. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Nice of you to call. Let's go to Randy in Texas. How are you, Randy?
Fine. It's nice. I'm glad you took my call. Kind of nervous. I think I've called like, 10,000 times and finally got on.
I'm glad to hear that.
Well, yeah. Enjoy your SEC Now Nation. I love it.
Thank you.
Is this the first time that we're talking about a season this early? Let's say everybody's going crazy over the 22 schedule.
Yeah, I must admit, I was, you know, that show came on as we were leaving here, and then I got in the middle of some stuff, and I still haven't had a chance to even look at the schedule. And maybe it's subconscious because I really don't want to look at that schedule yet. Do you? I want to think about this year.
Look, I'm an LSU fan. I just want to make sure we beat the Mutts.
No, you're right. Somebody sent it to me last night and said, can you believe – I'm like going, man, I mean, start analyzing next year's season. I know we did it. I know it has to come out because people have to make schedules and plans. But I'm not quite ready to start booking my road trips for next year yet.
Me neither. I mean, I just like to get this year. I mean, we're three games in the year, and everybody's already talking about 2022.
I mean, we go somewhere every week, and I know where I'm going this Saturday, and I don't know another date the rest of the year.
Awesome. Enjoy your show, man. You're doing great.
Thank you very much. Yeah, no, I'm sure there's a reason why it came out yesterday. I don't know what it is. Do you know what it is, Randy?
No.
Oh, okay. I just assumed you did. Teddy is in Georgia. Go right ahead, Teddy.
How's it going, Paul? You doing all right today?
I am doing great. Thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to call. First off, I got to say go Gators. But I wanted to call on a remark you made earlier about how if you ain't been watching Georgia, then, I mean, you you think they should be, I mean, I'm not saying they're not good by no means, but I feel like for who they've played so far, you can't really judge them off of that.
Hey, I mean, Teddy, hold on a second there. They played Clemson in the first game of the year. Clemson was ranked number two in the country.
Offense, though.
They played.
They got a. I mean.
Well, I don't know what they have, but I know one thing. Georgia's the best defense I've seen, and yeah, I think their offense is getting better. So I like Georgia. You don't have to, and I'm sure we'll see you. We'll see you in Jacksonville in about 5 weeks. We'll take a break. More on the. I'm not sure how to describe the folks that run college football on a family show, but we'll find out more about what did or didn't happen today in Dallas when Heather Dinich joins us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome all of you back here to the program. Big news today, or maybe there's not such big news, from the CFP. Heather Dinich joining us now from... Oh, I'm sorry. I was when we just tried to talk to Heather, I heard the sound of computer keys. And I must tell you, Heather, it brought me nightmares thinking about the days when I had to do what you're doing right now, is filing a story to ESPN. Good afternoon. Tell us what's going on.
Hi, Paul. Thanks. And it's an ergonomic keyboard, so it's especially loud. What's going on is that the president's are not going to go to Chicago next week. There will not be a vote on the 12-team college football playoff proposal. And I spoke with Notre Dame athletic director Jack Swarbrick right before this, and he said it was one of the best meetings today in Dallas where the commissioners met that they've ever had. And it was very substantive. They just did not feel comfortable at this time making a recommendation to the presidents to vote on next week. So the commissioners will still go to Chicago. They're going to continue to hash out the issues that people have around the table with this 12-team format. Some of those things include the academic calendar, the low but possible 17th game, the health and safety of the players, combined with the fact that some of these games could be happening during finals and exam weeks, winterization of stadiums throughout the Big Ten. There are just a lot of different things that have been brought up, and of course the Rose Bowl being one of them. So no vote, that's important, because these guys are on a timetable. They, within like 10 months, they need to figure this out.
Heather, let's go back 3 months, I think, when the news broke, or maybe even farther back than that. And at that moment in time, I know there were still some hoops to go through, but did you know, what was the feeling of the people that matter at the CFP that this was going to get approved sometime in September?
Well, nobody that was in Dallas in June thought this was going to be rubber stamped. I mean, SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey has said repeatedly from that day that there are plenty of hurdles that could delay this. And then, of course, you have the drama of the summer, which was Oklahoma and Texas going to the SEC. There were some raised eyebrows about Greg Sankey being on the four-person working group while he was negotiating Oklahoma and Texas and whatever role there was in those conversations. But I've talked to Greg at length about that. You know, I've talked to Mountain West Commissioner Craig Thompson. I think I've told you this before. You know, what were people supposed to do? Was he supposed to grab Bob Bowlesby in the hallway of their meetings in Dallas and say, hey, this is what's going on? So there's just been a lot of drama, quite frankly, and mistrust. And I think those things have played a role in delaying it on top of the issues that were already there.
You mentioned the Rose Bowl. For those who are not as literate in the machinations of CFP politics, what exactly is the story there?
Well, look, at the end of the day, it's about money. And if the Rose Bowl has to give its media rights to the CFP, they don't want to do that. They are staunch in their tradition, their history, their time, their date, and they also want the media rights. So that's the big hang up there.
Is that open for negotiation?
there are people within the room who think that that can be solved. You know, I have not spoken to anybody at the Rose Bowl to get their take on it today, but I can tell you that there are certainly people who think that that can be worked out. There are people who think that this can still possibly happen before the end of the contract. There are one of the other hangups, Paul, is that a majority of the people around that table would like to open it to more television partners. Whether or not that can happen before the end of the 12-year contract, which goes through 2025, obviously has to play a part of whether or not ESPN would be willing to do that and whether or not they could come to terms with that. So the Rose Bowl's media rights and the finding multiple TV partners are all part of this conversation and big ones.
Heather, when this started leaking out in May and into June, there was not a promise, but there was at least a feeling that perhaps this thing could happen in 2 years. Bill Hancock said that and opened the door. And there was a lot of enthusiasm in college football. I think I know the answer, but I ask it anyway. What's the likelihood of this expansion, regardless of what it looks like, happening before the end of this contract now?
I think it's highly unlikely. I would be shocked. And I say that because we're sitting here in September of 2021 and they don't know what they're doing yet. Like I said, we're probably looking at a window of about 10 months maybe to figure it out. And Paul, they have not yet found the host sites for the final 2 years of this contract. So in addition to finding the host cities for the remaining years of this contract, try to figure out how to do that for a new contract when you don't know what's going on. So there are all of those pieces of the puzzle that would make it extremely difficult to do this sooner than later.
Heather, thank you. I know you're in the middle of a story. We will let you get back to your keyboard, but it's always great to talk to you, and thanks so much for the information.
Thanks, Paul.
Heather Denich joining us from Keyboard Central right there. We literally heard her tapping away when we went there. Great to see people working during the afternoon other than just watching us. Let's talk to Joe, who is up next in Alabama. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Paul. How's it going, man?
Very well. Thank you.
I was just going to get your take on, now, I've been an Auburn fan since, I've been Auburn fan for 10 years. And just wondering, I know Death Valley is a hard place to play, okay? I know that. But my question is, what's our percent chance of winning down there?
I think I'd have to wait until after Saturday and let you know. If LSU lays an egg against Mississippi State, I think the odds go up, and for reasons which are hard to explain now, but the obvious answer would be that this team is in a world of hurt. So I mean, this is a really interesting point in the schedule, because you think about it, at LSU, what's it been? How long has it been since Auburn won there?
99. Yep.
Georgia back to back at Arkansas, Ole Miss, A&M. If Auburn doesn't beat LSU, there may not be another win until early to mid November, and by then the enthusiasm of this season will be gone. For all the things that we are saying positively about Brian Harsin, you're talking about potentially 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 straight losses. That's devastating. I'm not saying that will happen, but I'm just saying that of those games, LSU might be the best shot.
Yeah.
I've been down there a million times of those games. I mean, there's nothing in years past. I mean, even the year Auburn went to the national championship game in 2013, it lost to LSU. That is always as difficult a game on Auburn's schedule, oftentimes more difficult than Alabama.
Right. Hey, buddy, y'all have a good weekend. War Eagle, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I mean, it's a real Auburn, there are, I mean, not to state the obvious, because, you know, you play the season, you try to get to the first game, and then you start going through all the different things. But But you know, this LSU Mississippi State game has so many ramifications, because I still don't feel like, as an observer, as a fan, I know very much about LSU right now. I mean, they look, you know, bad. They look terrible against UCLA, but that was a million years ago. Let's see what they do this weekend is really going to help define them. Let's take a break. We have a lot to do the rest of the way. We're coming right back.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.